Hello and welcome to the 149th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton. And
we are here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, we are 0-2.
0-2. not exactly where we hope to be. I think the more optimistic North Texas fan thought of us maybe even being 2-0 at this point. But alas, it was not to be.
Yeah, it really wasn't. You know, there's a lot of things we could talk about immediately. We should just dive right in, or are we going to kind of talk about the good crowd for the rain? We talked about that
okay,
a little bit.
Okay, let's talk about that before we get to the absolute game. I was surprised because driving up to Denton, it was a turd floater, man. I mean, there was water everywhere, and I was really thinking this is bad for the first day tailgating. This is bad for the crowd, you know, walking across the bridge. There's a lot of people doing it, though. And you know what I noticed? There's not a concrete path when you cross that bridge to get over to the stadium. It's all a dirt and wood chip. And there was a lot of people I saw once they got out of the stadium, like getting mud off their shoes. I mean, it was not conducive for a huge group to walk across the bridge there.
I mean, I was impressed with the crowd. I mean, it was raining cats and dogs. You guys know I got there like 10:30, 11 in the morning, and it was just pouring down rain. My group went to like a bar and kind of waited out the rain. But when we got back, we were really surprised at how many people were there. I mean, so I think at the end result, that was not a bad crowd given the weather situation and just, you know, the whole situation in North Texas.
The announcement was like 19,000, I think.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. It was like 19,000, and I thought that was
until the third quarter.
Well, until after halftime, and everybody wanted to go, you know, decided to go do something better. But yeah, it was a good crowd. Driving in, they had the over by the baseball or the softball stadium, not softball. Yeah, it is softball. Yeah, over there on the old Liberty Christian campus.
Definitely wasn't baseball.
Yeah, it wasn't baseball. They all that field was muddy, and there was trucks and cars stuck out there. They'd gotten stuck in the mud, so it was pretty ugly. But we got to, hats off to the fans, hats off to the students because they showed up, and that was great, and it made for a good second quarter.
Yeah, I looked up in the stands towards the beginning of the game, and I was really surprised at the turnout, you know, given the rain. And then it got hot and, you know, or humid. And
the sun came out.
And then it became kind of miserable for a little bit, and then it became even more miserable.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was pleasantly surprised with McNulty's play.
Well, you had to be.
I didn't say it.
You had to be. I mean, McNulty went from sort of the GOAT to kind of being the guy that was keeping us in the game. I mean, he made some good decisions. He was not the reason we lost that game.
No. Ashton, you're the one that's been calling for his head for the whole year. No, I would agree. He did not. I mean, people, and there's going to be the McNulty haters on the board that are constantly complaining about he did this or he's throwing it too high. No, the interceptions, the turnovers were, I don't think, were any of them his fault?
No, the Carlos one, I mean, Carlos said on the sidelines, he goes, that's me, that's on me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it hit his hands.
It hit his hands. It was a little bit low and outside, but McNulty was also trying to get it around an outstretched arm.
Right.
Listen, nothing, in my opinion, nothing changes about McNulty, though. That's the thing, is that he didn't go out there, and he didn't make any new fans because everybody knows the limitations that he has. I mean, this is nothing new here. I think he did what he was supposed to do. You know, you take away the 93-yard touchdown, and his numbers look good. The 93-yard touchdown, his numbers look great.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take anything away from his performance, but I'm also not going to sit here and say that. I mean, we still lost the freaking game.
Well, no, he's not. I mean, I think what we could have asked for him, I think he did.
I'm gonna preface this by saying this particular episode, I'm gonna be very chat focused because we appreciate our members that come into the chat and add to the discourse. But
have you seen who's in there?
Adler just posted McNulty stats were padded in trash time. We were down 38-10. Is there truth to that?
The 93-yard touchdown was definitely we were down 38-10 at that point.
It was a good throw.
I mean, were we down that much?
Okay,
I thought that made it a 2-score game. Am I wrong about that?
Okay, I don't. You talk about padded stats because we were behind. I don't feel like he was still making the plays. They hadn't given up at that point. We were still doing. That was a good throw. He made – we were really criticizing the first game for not having the long ball, and I thought he threw both a pretty throws, good long –
Yeah, both his touchdowns were you know, one was 35-ish. Something,
was he
something
on
like
on every throw? No, but I think there were several of them that were really good. So, you know, and somebody says you're praising average. Hey, I'll praise average at this point.
True. Yeah, I mean, well I
– Green IT says down 38-17 and then a 90 – that's when the 93-yard
bomb. There you go.
That's
what I was going to say. The 93-yard bomb made it a two-touchdown game. Or no – am I doing the math wrong here? Yeah, two-touchdown game, two-score game. I mean, it's a ball game there. The sidelines were pumped up. That 93-yard touchdown, it definitely made the game more interesting. And then we proceeded to just crap down our leg even more and, you know, whatever.
UNT90 says, McNulty had 170 yards passing when we were down 31-10.
So, are we just going to repeat everything that's in the chat room tonight?
That's fine.
No,
and
I'm just trying to give them, you know,
you
they,
can
they
throw
need to be represented here.
His stats were pat. Yes.
Okay, you can throw those numbers at him, and maybe that's why they went to the long ball, and so there's episodes. But you tell me that he was throwing crap the first part of the game? You tell me the plays were – some of them were running plays. We were groaning. But I just don't think he was bad.
We're not uncovering anything new here by belaboring the quarterback. Like, I don't mean – the quarterback talk. Like, I don't know that we're doing anything that's going to – like, he was not bad. He was pretty good that game. We didn't win the game, so it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. That's how I'm going to go ahead and break down that quarterback play. I think in week one, he was definitely part of the reason why we didn't – why that game wasn't way, way closer than it should have been. You know, and then this week, we – you know, he made a big play. We got in it a little bit, but then we proceeded to just kind of go right back down.
17 points off the muff punt, interception through Harris's hands,
yeah.
The Ivory fumble.
That's what I was going to just kind of lead into.
17 points off the muff punt was bad.
The muff punt's awful. That ball bounces more than one time. You run away. On the first bounce, if you don't catch it, you were supposed to run. I've seen Tommy Perry coach that in practice. This is something that's just a guy trying to make a play, but you don't make that play down there in your own end zone like that, man, or down in your own end. You just don't do that. You've got to be smarter on a game that, you know, Rice is good, and we were in the game, and you allowed them excellent field position when I believe we just had a three and out, right? What is that coming off a three and out? So we had good momentum, and then all of a sudden, bang, you know, Kidsey tries to make a play and fumbles it.
And I think UNT90 makes a valid point to that, Ashton. He says, you're right, he didn't lose the game, but he will never win a game. Or will he ever win a game?
No, I've never said we've always said that. This is, I mean, again, that's we've always said that McNulty probably wasn't going to go out there and win us that many games on his own. He probably, hopefully, wouldn't lose the game a la Dejon UAB. Or, you know, okay. Greer La Tech or Greer, you know, UT along with the help of another person. I mean, it's the same thing every week. And I understand that it's obvious that we're going to talk with a quarterback. But, I mean, that's not the only issue we have right now. And I don't think that McNulty's performance did anything to bring in a DeMarcus Smith or a Josh Greer off last week's performance. I don't think it did.
I don't think that he lost us the game. I don't think he won us the game. I think he did several job. But the turnovers, the penalties, they killed us. And when you look at those 17 points off that, you add those back in. If we wouldn't have had those turnovers, they had zero. If we would have had zero, I think this would have been a really close game.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game so far with us, man.
Is that time of possession right?
Yeah, it is. Because sometimes when we scored – they had the ball for 41 minutes. We had the ball, almost 42 minutes. We had it for 18 minutes.
That's going to happen with the up-tempo, and we did go up-tempo a little bit. You know, we were moving a little bit quickly. That's going to happen. I mean,
they
you're going to lose the time of possession battle
almost
every time.
They had 28 first downs. We had 20. They had 189 rushing yards. We had 175. They overall yards, 500 yards for them, 560. We had 478. You look at the stats, the game should have been a lot closer. I mean, you could always say that. You could look at anything, and the stats could skew it one way or the other. I just don't think that there was a whole lot of – I just think there was some things that we couldn't capitalize on. We should have. One of them down there being the – when we were right inside, real close down there. I can't remember when that was in the game. But anyway, what I'm saying is that it's just – I don't – the numbers are padded, I don't agree with.
Well, that's – we can kind of lead into the three things I wanted to talk about. You know, if Harry, do you have something real fast? Or
Well, no, I was just going to say that we had a post in the chat that said if McNulty did good, you know, all things being equal, then why did we lose the game?
I mean,
there was three turnovers. Let me go back over that part.
If McNulty, well, I understand if McNulty that, but
what I'm saying is there's something more than just McNulty.
Oh, no, no,
I mean,
no.
The defense is
not
playing
just
well.
McNulty.
The offensive line is not playing well. I mean, I think
he didn't lose the game for us, and just because he plays good doesn't mean we're going to win the game. I mean,
right.
You could get housed.
Okay.
Your quarterback could throw for 500 yards, 6 touchdowns, and you can lose because your defense craps the bed the whole game. I mean, that's not a valid argument.
Okay, so I agree, and here's the thing. So
see Texas Tech.
What drives me crazy is, is McNulty. We got to go to somebody else. I don't think that's the answer. I think what we have is an average team with some positions where we're really lacking, and it is the problem is it's the same thing year after year. Why does this continue to happen? Is it a talent evaluation? Is it a coaching situation? And how does it ever come to an end? Is it going to be a situation, do we need this program to win all their games or lose every one of their games for something to happen?
I mean, that's a valid argument. I mean, sometimes you just need an enema. You know, I mean, you know, Jack Nicholson and Batman, this town needs an enema. I mean, maybe – you know, and there's a valid argument to that. Some people, it's like the whole, like, break it all down before you can build it back up kind of and start fresh. I personally don't want to see that. I you know, I mean, I think that – and I don't think it will happen right away. I think that Mac has definitely has another year regardless of how bad the season goes. I mean, unless something catastrophic happens, I would – in my opinion, I don't see him losing his job on this season. I think the bowl win is too fresh. And I think that if he would have won the bowl in his first season, then it had 4 or 5 crappy seasons, okay, then maybe so. But having 2 bad seasons, a bowl win, coming out of nowhere really, and winning 9 games, and then having, you know, 2 bad seasons after that, I don't think that warrants him to be fired. I think that he would need to do really bad next season as well. But, you know, there's
UNT90 in the room said the offensive line played much better in SMU.
They did, actually.
They did.
They did. McNulty didn't have much time to, like, set and throw the ball. And, again, I mean, I don't think I want to bring up the name McNulty the rest of this throw. But because we're just going to keep going on the quarterback. Here's a couple of things I did want to bring up, though. You know, and 3 things I liked and disliked about this past week's game. And I'll fly through these. I'll start with the like. We're 4 out of 4 in the red zone. That's good and bad, I guess, because we've only gotten the red zone 4 times. But we're 4. Every chance we've been in the red zone, we've scored. That's nice. We only have 1 touchdown in the red zone, but still, at least we're capitalizing on opportunities.
I think that's a bigger concern there.
It is. In a small sample, the emergence of Chris Loving is nice to see. That guy's got super athleticism. He's a mismatch waiting to happen.
Great catch, too.
Those are 2 one-handed catches he had. And he's a mismatch. He's a mismatch. And I think that Marcus Smith definitely has, like, this prototypical inline or out wide tight end. I'm sorry. But Loving has the athleticism that Marcus might lack a little bit. And Loving, with those hands and run after the catch ability to break a few tackles, that's nice. The third thing that I liked is Jerrion Roberts is really starting to step up. J-Rob's got 4 tackles for a loss in 2 games. I think he's got 2.5 sacks right now. He's disruptive. He's also getting tackles outside of the line. Like right when they cross the line, he's there meeting him. And I think that's a big thing. He's definitely stepping up to the you know, Polk has been real quiet this year, and I think that Jerrion, we need somebody on the defensive line to kind of step up, which leads me to my dislikes.
Well, hold on, before you get, I want to jump in on the likes.
Okay,
the Chris Loving thing, I was really, that was one of the happy,
you love it?
The happy who was that,
yeah,
moment. And as I clambered for the program, because it was really nice to see the tight end in on stuff. And he, like you said, some really good grabs, some good hands. So that was definitely a positive.
After the catch, too, that was nice. I think his 1 catch went for about 29, and I think he caught the ball about 11 yards. You know, he caught the ball 11 yards, so that's 18 after the catch.
Mm-hmm. He had 5 receptions.
Dislikes.
67 yards.
We've been outrushed 462 yards to 287 in the first 2 games. That's fine when your up-tempo is working, but right now we're only at 129 plays in 2 games. And I believe Chico wants about 80, 90. I was hoping we'd be in the 150 range out of these 2 games, especially against SMU, that I thought we were going to kind of go back and forth offense. So that's a little bit disturbing. And the up-tempo, the out-rushing is okay if you're going to pass the ball a ton and we only have 431 passing yards in 2 games. So those stats aren't really great so
okay,
far.
Okay, you tell me how one of our top recruits who redshirted last year has yet to have a ball thrown to him.
T?
Yeah.
He had a ball thrown.
Did he have one thrown?
The jump ball, that was intercepted that he got out-jumped on. I mean, this is...
That's what that was.
But,
okay.
But you're exactly right. I don't know what's going on there. And with Turner being out last week, Smiley, I was really kind of thinking that... T. Gorey was going to get the ball a lot, but I think they're
Thaddeus
force feeding Carlos.
Did have a catch though. I know Thaddeus caught at least one,
and I think four.
But it was
targets,
like a 2 yard. You know, I hate those 2 yard or behind the line throws, and you know they just rarely ever work. But he did have one reception.
Thompson had three.
Well, I say one that I remember, but he probably had
Thaddeus
three.
Was yeah. I think
not
I texted
big
you.
Yards.
I texted no, had, Harry at the yeah. You know when I found out that Smiley was out. I texted Harry, then I said, you know, more Thaddeus this game, and I think that Thaddeus needs to be up there ahead of Kidzie, and I think that we can all see why. The last thing that I wanted to talk, yeah, the 129 plays in two games. I said that I was hoping we'd be in the 150 range. And one thing I really dislike, Jared Combs, one tackle. Two games. He's
disappointing.
He's not getting a ton of snaps. I don't know if they're trying to bring him in slowly, but he and Courtney Finney aren't even getting that many reps during the game. I mean, they're getting the reps. They're getting plays because they rotate so often, but I didn't think that Courtney Finney was going to be so far down on the tackle list than Fred Scott. And I thought that Jared Combs would have the 2.5 sacks that Jerry and Roberts has and the 7 or the 4 tackles
for
loss.
Who was it that led the team in tackles? Someone had like 15 or 16.
Blake B. Oh, Keyshawn, right?
Yeah, I think Keyshawn McClain had like 15 or 16 tackles.
Your safety against a team like Rice is going to get a ton of tackles. I mean, that's just going to happen. I mean, Laramie's stats sometimes were ridiculous. And Keyshawn last year at UAB, I think he had a crap ton of tackles too. So, I mean, it just if you're getting thrown on and you're getting scored on, your safety's going to tackle.
I just think, you know, in this down time for the program, you know, when you can look at some bright spots, Keyshawn has to be one of the guys. What is he, a sophomore? You know, that's pretty impressive for a guy that's just been around a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't going right now. I mean, we can safely say that. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the offensive line. It's kind of a, you know, I was talking to one of the players on the sidelines during the game, and it was interesting to me. The offense was moving the ball. The defense wasn't playing great. Defense was making a lot of mistakes. I kept hearing Kosh yell at the defense for simple mistakes. So it's kind of like when the offense was finally playing right, you couldn't have the damn defense do anything. And, you know, that was totally reversed at SMU. You had the defense really stepping up and doing everything they possibly can, and then the offense just, nope. And I think that's get on the same page, play well at the same time. And then you got special teams messing up too. Special teams were supposed to be our best unit, and it wasn't even going to be close, we thought, you know, with Kina Mossick and Moore. Trevor Moore's missed two field goals. I mean, this is All-America candidate kicker, and he's missed two field goals. Now, I know one was pretty far away, but I've seen him make longer. So what's up, man?
McClain had 14 solo tackles, 2 assists. Next after him was James Gray with 8, and then Blake Bean was 6. So yeah, he was kind of all in his own in there with 14 tackles.
Which, again, you'd like to see more of the defensive linemen and linebackers making, because that means they're not long plays. But still, I do think, you know, even when you're having a bad year and you're winless like we are, you do want to keep your eye on some of the good, you know, the positive things.
I had three likes. I said three likes.
You already switched over to bad. So when
three things.
We were talking about the special teams. Explain to me the thinking of when we've got a punter who is absolutely kicking it lights out.
Rugby style.
With Eric Kina, we bring in Blake Masick to do a rugby style that went for a total of 8. Why did we do that?
I think I've always wondered how special teams work like that, where sometimes you do something like when do you fake punt? You know, you see something on tape at times where you think you have the advantage. I think they were getting beat on, I think a couple plays before that, they had really bad punt coverage. So that play is designed to give you some more time, obviously, because you run to the side a little bit. You get about 2 to 3 seconds more to get down the field, which is pretty. And if you're Jamal Marshall, that gives you 3 seconds to overrun the guy more. Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, he overruns people. It's bad.
Wow. Well,
the punt return, you can always see number 8 go right by the guy with the ball. Like, he's running full speed because he's so damn fast, and then the guy just, shoot, one little move in his
Well, game. I couldn't figure it out because we've had great punts this year, great punter, and then we did that, and I was like, why did we do that? And it didn't seem like a good place to. It didn't. I just don't understand it. So
this is not the worst team North Texas has ever had.
No,
that's where we're at right now. But that's the kind of statements we have to make.
The point I'm going to tell you though is that this team seems to drop the ball, make the mistake at the most inopportune times.
Oh yeah. Da-dun-dun-sh. Muff of the punt. There was a bunch of things.
That's going. Bad. The muffing of the punt. The Willie is one
Ivory.
Of those
ones. I mean, Willie Ivory comes in the game, absolutely makes a spectacular run, shows more speed than anyone on the field, and he fumbles the ball. I mean, it's just, you know, that's a microcosm of this whole season.
I honestly thought it was Jimerson.
Jimerson fumbled out of
bounds. It was Willie Ivory, and now, you know, the poor SOB sitting on the end of the bench, you know, with Mac, we probably won't see him again until UTEP.
Chico, at halftime, Chico came in the locker room, found Willie Ivory, ran over to him and said, shake it off, you're going to score in the second half. You're going to score in this half, you're going to score in this half, and tried to bring him back up. I was waiting to see what kind of – I don't know how many touches he had in the second half. Ivory, we definitely changed our game plan, but, I mean, I don't think that there's any – they know that Ivory's got the shake talent that – He needs to get the ball in space.
I think he's excited.
He's going to get the ball in space.
Yeah, I think he's exciting, and I like to see him, and I want to see him play more. I'm not down on the guy. I was just surprised, and it was one of those things. It's a bad time, and it just came. Those things haunt us.
The chat room, we've got a post from the Tasty Greek. We were way worse under Dodge, but at least then there was something to believe in and look forward to.
What was that to believe in? Fringe firings, retirements, or deaths. Wow, we've moved into the dark.
Man, it got dark fast.
Tasty Greek's gone to the bad place. Yeah. You've gone to the bad place, my friend. Come back. Oh, basketball. Yuck. Ugh. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, anyway, we want to stay clear of basketball.
You know, the thing is that we...
I think that was poison, something to believe in.
You still saw flashes during the game, and I'm still seeing more flashes than I saw all of last season. I really think that there's so far that there's better things that were last season was bad, like really bad. And you know, we may go 0-4, 0-5, whatever, and it's still the record wise is going to look way worse because we pummeled SMU in the beginning of the season last year. But you know, and then we had the JV team that came into town, Nichols, and we played them.
So you're saying the team last year was lots worse than this one?
I mean, I stand by.
Not
I said
lots
that,
worse.
I said
not lots worse.
No, I said
Ashton Campbell.
I said, hey, listen. I said that in the preseason. I said that in training camp. I also talked. I talked to a friend of mine during fall camp, and I said I was more excited about this team at that first week of camp than I was last season going into the season. 2 weeks later, I kind of took that back and retracted and said I was kind of nervous going into SMU all of a sudden. But you just started seeing things that weren't. The talent wasn't manifesting itself like you kind of would hope. I mean, the week one of camp, there's some highlights, and then you hope you see more highlights, and then you stop seeing those kind of highlights and those good plays, and then you hear coaches yell and harp on the same things. And I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, and no, I'm not saying 0-12 is better than 4-8, but we're not 0-12 yet, so just relax. But, you know, I mean, it.
Okay, let's. Well,
there's just, you know, there's some things. There's definitely some things, there's some positives there that I think that we can build on, and I'm going to play the silver lining card. I'm sorry. Like, there are moments where we do things really well. And if last year the defense didn't play well really ever, right? Is that – we can all agree on that? Like, the defense wasn't good ever?
I think the defense shows nice moments. When you're on the field for 42 minutes of a game
– they were tired at the end of the game.
At the end of the game, you're not going to play
SMU.
Well.
The score wasn't as high, I think, as – you know, okay, here's something I want to talk about, though. Let's kind of talk about this part of it. And this could be coaching, but it also just could be, you know, players. These are kids, their mentality. Mental fortitude, man. These guys, they don't have the mental toughness that 2013 team had. And I don't know how they get that. That's something that just kind of grows in your mind. Like, you get that after you play football for a while, I think, and you see some wins. And maybe the Idaho game did that for the 2013 team, and then almost beating Ohio. You know, and then the Ball State game definitely. We're onto something here. We're 2-1. So the thing that so Carlos's tip ball interception happens, right? And at that point in time, I think we're down by only 7. I think it's only a 1-score game. I believe I could be wrong about that. But what happens when we're driving, touchdown or interception? Rice gets the ball back. I think one play later, they have a big play for like 40 something yards. The whole sideline's just deflated. Everything just kind of went down. And that's the kind of times where you need to like pick it up, like get going. That's when you had Marcus Trice or Zach Orr or somebody like that kind of getting the sidelines going, and it became very deflated. And I think that's detrimental. And then they scored on that drive, and then it was just like, okay, we lost. And then in my head, I was thinking, we're going to lose this game now. We're going to lose this game. I was kind of jumping on the non-mental toughness bandwagon just because what I was seeing wasn't instilling any confidence in me that we were going to come out with this win. And that's a problem. And call it chalk up to inexperience? I don't know.
But. So how bad is it going to get? Because right now we're looking at facing an Iowa team that's 3-0, playing pretty good, just beat Pittsburgh, Iowa State, and Illinois State. And that's not good for us. And, you know, after that, we've got Southern Miss and then Portland State. And we could very easily go 0-4, possibly 0-5, and then we've got Western Kentucky after Portland State.
Well, I think the Iowa game on the road, man, I mean, that's a – Now, Ashton and I were talking earlier. I mean, Jacksonville State almost beat Auburn, so crazy things can happen.
Anything can happen.
Well, we've got to stop the turnovers. And Brennan in the room just brought this up, and we talked about it.
They're killing
17
us.
Points that game is a huge difference. You take 17 points, they scored off of the turnovers. We got the ball back. The offense was moving. The defense is tired because the offense wasn't on the field enough. 17 points off turnovers. They didn't turn it over at all. So when you look at that, that's a huge portion of this. If we can control the turnovers on any one of these games down the road, we have a chance. I mean, yeah, it's not a dead set thing, but we have a chance to win anywhere if we can keep the ball from being turned over. And the kids, and not have the defense on the field.
The kids, he fumbled, was a backbreaker. I mean, I was in our end of the field, and we gave them a touchdown. We just handed it to them, said, here, take this. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that can't happen, and that's why we're in the situation we're in. I mean, turnovers, you can rally around, you know, turnovers and get some momentum, you know, coming back on the field, and you can use adversity against you. But if you give turnovers that turn into points immediately – you're not playing for much at that point. You're struggling.
Well, and I'm sorry, when you let them get such a big lead as they did against Rice, the energy in that stadium just emptied out.
It did. And so did the
stadium.
We came back and everything else, but I saw a lot of people seemed down at that point, and you can't get that far out of a game in Conference USA. Conference USA, now against Iowa, it happens. You know, against these big schools.
Not a division rival at home.
Not a school that's on an equal footing in terms of the conference and things like that. You can't afford to fall that far behind.
No, and you know, when you have a 93-yard touchdown and you're still down by two scores, it's not good.
No,
that's
it's
bad.
Not. But, you know, I'm going to go
back
to
turnovers. It's a
different
game, but it's bad.
When we played SMU, they had 3 turnovers. We had 4. And we played less of a game. We improved, but we did not improve in the turnovers. The defense needed to help us out and get another turnover in there against Rice, but Rice did not give it up.
In my predictions, I really thought SMU and Rice were our two best chance, one of, you know, as far as games that we had a good chance to win. And so losing both of those, and obviously Portland State's another one, but losing those two, I'm sorry, but it just, when you start looking at the schedule, it gets kind of depressing.
3-2, man. We had to be 3-2 coming out of these first 5 games, and I think 3-2 would be extremely challenging right now. You're going to have to hit a huge upset this weekend at Iowa. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's got that crazy homecoming thing for Mac. I mean, you never know. I mean, crazier craps happen, but.
Well, you look at the teams we have to play and their records, and Louisiana Tech and UTSA. UTSA is 0-3. And
they got. They got slobber knocked.
Boy,
by,
did they did by Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State,
69-14. They're going through some growing pains too. But I'm glad that game's in Denton.
Well, my hope is that we don't have that kind of ass whipping at Iowa, and that we can keep it competitive. I'm not going to sit here and say I expect to win. Nobody does. But if we can just keep it competitive, cut down on the mistakes. In my view, that could be make it an interesting game. You know,
we didn't have much of a chance at Georgia, and we made that a pretty fun game for a little
That's
bit.
Exactly,
it got
true.
It got pretty bad pretty quick in the fourth quarter, but man, that was fun as hell for, you know, going in there tied at halftime. I mean, that was, or tied in the third quarter.
It was awesome.
I mean, that was great. And you know, I mean, again, you know, we got to get a lot of things going at the same time, and our defense needs to play well at the same time our offense is playing well. And if that happens against Rice, that's such a stupid thing to say, but you know, it would have been a different half. And then, you know, maybe don't fumble the ball on a punt return where you have no business touching the ball. See Sack Whitfield and get the hell out of the way. Yeah. Run out of bounds. Go back to the bench. Just leave. Go. Get out of the way of the ball. And you try to grab it. And, you know, Perry looked over at Kidzie and said, hey, Trey's going in. You know the rules. Like, this is, you know, they teach that. There was something that, you know, that's a mistake. And that's a mistake that shouldn't happen. It happened. It led to way too much. And I felt like that was a massive backbreaker. And at that point in time, I just kind of looked like, man, we're not going to win this damn game.
I think we'll feel good about this game if we don't turn the ball over, win the turnover ratio, and keep the defense off the field. If we could have a close 40, 60, 50, 50 on the time of possession, I think we got a better shot. And if McNulty plays like he did this past week.
Yes, he has to have a good game.
Now, this is a home. Brandon put it on the board. This is a home, not, I mean, it's not a home field advantage for him, but it is going back to his stomping grounds. Maybe it's going to be pretty jazzed to play there.
Oh, he's going to be high, sky high. Are you kidding? That's like
jazzed to play every game, though, right? I mean, come on.
Come on, man. That's a huge, for him and Mac. Oh, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's storybook. I mean, you go back home with your head coach and, you know, the head coach that, you know, believed in you to make you the starting quarterback, show him something. Like, this is the game that McNulty really, and he knows it. I know he knows it. Like, he needs to show out this week. I mean, he's got to, you know, and ball out, and the whole team's got to get the guys on. He's a captain. This is his chance to kind of get everybody and just make it a damn game.
I don't think Ass Man is in the chat room, Harry. I think that was a typo.
Sorry about that. I meant to say Ad Man.
Kramer
Sorry.
In here.
As Man. As a man. As a man, I'm 40. As we did man. Talk about Oklahoma State.
It's a proctologist license plate.
All right. Is it time for Mr. Barron?
What's up, Brandon?
Let's see what Brandon's got to say here. We're going to go ahead and pause it. And... we're going to go ahead and pause the chat. And so for those
listening. That's not what I meant, Adman. Please stop that.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat. I'm going to go ahead and pause it. So for those of you listening on iTunes, you won't notice anything. For those of you listening in the room, please keep your hands to yourself.
Bad man.
All right. Joining us on the line is Brandon, our illustrious student reporter here, and Brandon's been catching a lot of grief because the first week I didn't know he wasn't able to attend the game because of his brother playing at SFA, and so he caught quite a bit of grief in the chat room over that, and that's partially our fault because Harry didn't prep us correctly. But so Brandon, obviously, I didn't ask, did you make it to this game?
I definitely did make it to this
game.
Okay,
you made it to
good
this game.
Man.
You
great job. Yes. Okay, that's it. We're over now.
We're good.
All right, cool. Good talking to you, Brandon.
Yeah, great, Brandon. Yeah. Thanks so much.
For all of you in the chat room.
You saw us lose. Great. Awesome.
Yeah, for all of you in the
topic.
Chat room, go to hell. Wow. So there it is right there. All right, so Brandon, what were your thoughts? You put in there on the board, talked about the turnovers, talked about a few things that could really change this week. Of course, McNulty playing in Iowa. You've been listening to us in the chat room. What is your immediate thoughts from the game? What did you say it would have worked if this would have happened?
If we had, you know, made the adjustments at halftime and not kept, and stopped trying to focus so much on the run, which we were definitely stopping from them. I mean, we were definitely, like, handling the run, and the defense felt they were handling the run fine. And we had a safety with 15 tackles, which is insane. He led the team because we were playing our safety so low, and thus they started gashing us deep with the pass because our defense got tired stopping the run. If we had stopped that, we would have definitely gone on to have some better plays. And also the turnovers, we were minus three on that, and all the coaches and the players touched on that at the press conference, and they're like, I mean, it, all three of those turnovers led to points, and they all realized that. And so, I mean, McCarney goes, I've seen them take care of the football in practice.
So that's a good point. Let's talk about that, because the turnover ratio is seven. We've turned over the ball seven times. The opposing teams have turned it over three times this year. So that's a glaring number right there. And SMU is just not that great of a team. So Rice held on to it. Iowa, I don't imagine, is going to turn it over. We've got to get pressure. We don't have any kind of pressure. We didn't have any kind of pressure on the Rice QB this game.
That's correct. The idea was that they're going to run the ball with the running back like they did against Texas.
And Brandon's right. Let me jump in, Brandon. You're right. I mean, we stopped the run for pretty much that entire – I mean, they didn't run the ball on us worth a damn, but they sure did pass the ball on us.
Well, but that's the thing. They passed the ball on us because we had no pass rush whatsoever.
We had no pass rush from the D line because they were basically like saying, "Hey, we're gonna sit back and cover out the flats so they can't run the ball on us," because that's what they did against Texas. And to do that, we had to bring down some safeties to play low. And when the Rice coaches saw that, and the Rice quarterback, who he was great at Cedar Hill, he's just one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. He really is. He is top notch. He realized that. And I mean, I'm not fan voting or anything like this. He was just making really good plays because he recognized, hey, our safeties are low. We should pass the ball. Like, and that's what they started doing. They started passing the ball all over us.
So our defense got tired. I was going to ask you this, Brandon. What was your, again? And I know you were going to the press conference and a bunch of different places, but how did the students? I mean, we were all talking earlier in the podcast. It looked like the student section was pretty boisterous at the start of the game, surprisingly so given the weather. So, what was your take on the student side of things?
I am still like jumping up and down thinking about how awesome our student section was at the start of that game, because it rained and I got there early. And I'm sitting down there. I'm like the first row. Look to the field, and I look back behind me, I was like, oh crap, nobody's going to show up. And then I look back like 10 minutes later, it's just full of people.
Hey Brandon, question: when did the student section just kind of, when did the deflation happen there? Because I couldn't really tell exactly when it was, but I noticed that the whole stadium just kind of got quieter. But
it was in between, as right after, like right during, it started like halfway through halftime.
And oh, so was it halftime that it got bad?
Like halfway into the third quarter.
Oh, jeez.
When people just left. And that was just simple. I mean,
after the interception? Was it around the time that we threw the interception?
Yeah. Well, no, it was like the interception, and there was a fumble that caused it as well.
So, okay, let's talk about, the students' point of view as far as frustration. We've always talked about this. Years ago, we had so few students turn out for the games, and then if we weren't winning, they just didn't show up. We had nearly none. Now, year in and year out, no matter how bad we're playing, we still seem to get the students coming out. And I think a lot of it has to do with that more students care and want to be involved with that. But how does that translate over into like the daily? How does that translate over to the students? How do they feel about the game? Are they starting to get a little jaded after a loss to SMU, after a loss to Rice? I mean, is it kind of one of those things where people are grumbling and we could start seeing a drop off?
Well, a lot of the students, we all recognize that, hey, we were turning the ball over, but other than that, they saw a lot of good things. Like, it was exciting. That first half of football was so exciting. The student section was amped. We were pumped, and everybody was just going nuts. And then we started turning the ball over, and everybody was just kind of like, okay, what's going on here? And then by halftime, everybody else was like tired and from baking out in the sun. And they just were like, I can't do this, because I mean, I sat out there in the student section and was in there with all them, and it was hot. Like, it was really, really, really hot. Like, everybody was getting sunburned.
It was miserable.
I got sunburned myself. I mean, I don't ever get sunburned.
Well, I don't think a lot of people.
I got sunburned.
I don't think anybody brought sunscreen because they were just thinking it was not going to happen. Hey, let's get back real quick. When we were just talking about the sacks and things, I didn't realize this stat, but how many sacks we had?
Don't say it.
We had four for 16. They had 2 for 11. So we actually sacked their quarterback.
Had more sacks.
I didn't feel
yes,
like.
Yes, Harry, that's correct. that's great.
The quarterback stepped up into the pocket whenever we sacked him. He wasn't dropping back. He was kind of just sitting straight up in the pocket. Had a very, very short step.
But I still felt like we didn't get any pressure on him. So I don't know if that just came. I want to know when those sacks were, but I felt like we didn't have any pressure.
During the game.
He didn't lose. Brandon's right. He didn't lose a lot of yardage on the sacks. I noticed it seemed like he was always like right behind
J-Rob's
the
sack. J-Rob's sack, I think, was like a 7-yard loss by
that
itself. So I think that was
that
the big
one.
Yeah. That's where the yardage is going to – the yardage is going to come from that one sack. But, you know, I mean, yeah, we need to get to the quarterback more. I mean, hell, we need to do a lot of things more, so besides lose.
Yeah.
That's expert analysis here. I'll be all week.
Well, hey, Brendan, we appreciate you for coming on the show and giving your insight. It's always interesting to kind of hear what's going on the student side of things. Any closing thoughts before we
I got a question for Brandon.
Oh, he has
actually
a question for you.
Hey, man, do me a favor this week, if you could. Really up until the Iowa game, so basically over the next 2 days if you can. Just out of curiosity, try to ask people, you know, who does everybody want at quarterback, like on the student side of things? Are they looking for DeMarcus Smith as well? Or are they looking for, do they even know who Josh Greer is? I mean, I'm curious to see what the students think about, you know, who they want as the quarterback from the student side, because we all know who a lot of the board wants and the chat room wants and everything like that. But I'm curious about, like, maybe some
right
younger.
Now.
Oh, who is
I,
it?
I can answer that question. They all want, nobody wants Greer. And
God.
Nobody so, wants Greer. I can tell you
Connor everybody Means. Is it DeMarcus. Connor Means?
Everybody wants DeMarcus.
That's a student consensus right now.
Everybody
what's the what's
DeMarcus.
The basis on that? I'm just curious. Does anybody just say, is it the new shiny toy? Basically, like
the
I
new
want
shiny toy. He is the new shiny toy, and also everybody kind of is like it's. I think it's actually being led more by, you know, football players that, you know, take classes with us. They'll talk like and people who talk to people that are involved, you know, with the program and know what's going on in the program is the current consensus is DeMarcus is good. He's just very, very good. And like then after the hit,
all American at junior college.
Well, that's
I
what
mean,
we're
come
and,
on.
And that,
you know?
Okay, so Brandon brings up a great point because that's what he hears a lot of the players talking about. We're wondering how could he be that great at junior college and get here and be average when some other schools wanted him? That's really
from
frustrating.
What I've heard, he's not average. He's really good.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out because when we're hearing from other pages, it's really kind of a tough it's a tough situation. We don't know what's going on. But, I mean, this didn't help the situation out this last week for his cause because McNulty had a serviceable game.
Yeah, McNulty had a good game, and the reason why most people, I think that everybody's saying that he's not starting
because we're not winning
is DeMarcus is not starting is because he came very, very late in the summer.
He came in the summer. I mean, that's the thing. He came in right before. Yeah, I mean,
instead of spring training,
he wasn't here for the spring game.
I still think that, and I've said this before, and I think that really nobody would really, I don't think, argue with it. If DeMarcus was here in the spring, he'd probably be starting right now. I don't think there's any secret to that. I think that really hurt it. You know, again, if he's got the talent,
why would we bring a guy in that didn't have his grades?
They didn't know he was not going to be eligible for the spring when they brought him in.
You have to have academic people or something that figure these things out.
I think it was still up in the air. I think they took the chance and it was a gamble. And you know, it's not like we haven't gambled on transfer quarterbacks before.
Rock burglar.
Rock burglar. All right. So, all right, Brandon. Well, we appreciate the feedback. Appreciate you making it to the game this week. You know, get some ideas from people. You know, when you're up there in the stands or when you're talking, you know, get some information from the students' perspective, just like you brought today and talking about who they want to see play. You know, get some feedback, especially after this Iowa game, and let us know that because I know people in the chat room want to know that, and a lot of the listeners just kind of like to get that perspective of students because, quite honestly, when every one of us here listen to this chat that have graduated, there wasn't this many students going to the game.
Hey,
every year, the numbers have grown. And
hey, Brandon, I got a quick question for you. All right, it's non-football related. Ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is roast beef and cheddar.
Roast beef and cheddar. Gotcha.
Wow.
Brandon's on the record.
It would have taken me longer.
Is that an Arby's? Because you knew that.
No,
you said roast beef
Arby's
and cheddar.
Roast. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I mean, okay.
He's out.
Just,
I like
yeah,
Arby's.
Homemade right. With French bread. Roast beef
with
and
French
cheddar.
Bread.
How you do it.
And you make that at home?
Wow.
Yes. I am a broke college student. I can't afford amenities like mustard and ketchup.
Dude,
you're definitely not getting paid for this podcast.
You could afford roast beef. I was like ramen noodles and peanut butter. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, roast beef's a delicacy, man.
It's
macaroni.
That prepackaged Hillshire Farm, but I mean, it'll do.
It's not high quality roast. It's kind of stewed. All right. Well, thanks, Brandon. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. Thank y'all.
All right, man.
All predictions right. on the game?
I think that went pretty good. Yes, he made it
31-13.
UNT, wow. Going big on the UNT win.
Iowa, sorry.
Man, Iowa. You had UNT winning nicely. I like that. I'm going UNT 97 and Iowa 2. They'll get a safety.
Ferentz is not going to run up the score in this game. They're too good friends, and they're gonna get it comfortably ahead, and then they're gonna kind of put it on cruise control.
But Iowa's sitting at 3-0. They're looking to keep that going. So if you look at who they played this year, they're looking at this as a pushover. Hey, maybe they're looking past us. I mean, I know there's some history there with them, but let's hope they're looking past us, and we can kind of surprise them and keep it a good game. Love to see us win, but we got too many things we got to fix in a week. So. All right, with that, that'll call it the end for number 149, and we'll talk to you next week. Make sure you watch the game this week, and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.